Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Well, I'm back from the dead.
I love it. Last week, Monday morning, I said to you, I'm never drinking again. Yeah. And this week, you never phoned me again. This morning and like, I'm actually contemplating never drinking again.
The thing was, is that we had, it was one of our mates' surprise birthdays that I'd planned on Saturday. So there was 20 of us. We had this big lunch at a lovely pub in Weybridge. And we had no kids at the house because they went to stay with Lucy, who used to look after them for the night. So at about 9 o'clock, you picture the scene, me standing on a stool in the pub going, everyone back to ours, house party. Oh, Doz is looking God. At me going, what the fuck is she doing? No. And then we had like 15 people back in our kitchen. The music was like, our neighbours. I mean, I saw Francesca, our neighbour, this morning, and she was like, oh, did you have a good time on Saturday night? And I was like, the music wasn't too loud, was it? Knowing full well that it would have 100% kept like, anyway, cue like 2 o'clock in the morning, and Doz was like, we have to go. I mean, I felt so unwell.
Oh. It's just when you get overexcited, isn't it? Like, that's what happens, you know, like when you think, oh, no kids in the house. Yeah. Like, yay! Like, it's funny. I was talking to her mum about this on the way back from ballet on Saturday. I was like, I feel like this is why I'm so looking forward to half term when the kids are going to my parents, because I'll have a full 5 nights of them not being around. And so I'm not going to get overexcited. So I'm actually going to catch up on sleep and actually rest, because normally when they go, you know, go somewhere for the night, I feel dreadful. Yeah. Like the next day, because you get so excited. I mean, it's fun though.
It was fun. And actually I've done that whole thing, you know, like by Sunday afternoon, I was like weighing up my whole life, you know, have I made the right decision in life? And then Doz looked at me and he was like, but it's worth it, Zoe, because we were friends and I felt like not just a mum and not, I didn't have any responsibilities and I was dancing on my table and it was really, really, really fun. I loved it.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. And that's the thing. Like, I always do it where I'm like, no, I'm not going to drink too much. Like, you know, I don't want to feel bad on Sunday and I want to have a nice day with the kids. But you're right. It's so important to have the times where you just feel like you and just like, just have fun. I mean, a hangover is a hangover. You're going to feel bad for a day or two. And
I went to spinning this morning, so I've sweated out my demons. There was a moment where I thought I could taste tequila coming off my arm. And I hope I wasn't smelling of, you know, I haven't had a shower yet. So. How are you, George?
Yuck! I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm not smelling like tequila this morning, thankfully. No, we had such a nice weekend. I was actually really sensible on Saturday. I went wedding dress shopping with my friend and we just had like a nice couple of drinks. I was home by 11. Yeah, we had a nice day with the kids yesterday. Went out for lunch.
Can we talk about Gigi and her phallic object that she was waving around the kitchen this morning?
Right. I'm not joking. This thing pops up all the time. I can't remember what game it's from. It's from some game like Sausage and Dog or something. I don't know, whatever it is. But honestly, you know, if you just see that on the floor when you like walk into the kitchen, you're like, every time James says, like, every time he walks in, he sees it, like, he has like a full blood, especially if we've got like builders in the house or, you know, like, we have quite a few people in the house at the moment. We have viewings sometimes, you know?
Oh, God.
So, like, he does, like, his heart sinks. I mean, what? Who invented it?
Her little face. That's coming out on her 18th birthday. Actually, I've got a confession to make and I know I can share this in a safe space.
I know.
So obviously, you know, I've got a few dildos in the house, you know, of course. We've got the sex briefcase. And then the other night we reached in the sex briefcase. My favourite dildo wasn't charged. Doz was like, don't worry, leave it with me. You know, we'll get it charged up so that we're ready to go for the week ahead. Always thinking, thanks, Dozer. Anyway, we've got someone to help us out with the house, like doing bits and pieces. And she's so lovely, but she's a bit of a prune when it comes to things like that. She walked into the bedroom and Dozer had left a fucking dildo on charge his side table. Not only do we have her, we had the guy that's making our wardrobes who also, their faces. And I just went, nothing to see. And just had to basically launch myself on top of this fucking dildo. I mean, it was almost like it was vibrating going, here, I'm Zoe's climax right in the corner of the room.
Oh yeah. God, I just want to die. But why is it embarrassing? Like, this is what I mean. In those situations, I always think to myself, everyone's seen it. Everyone knows it. Like, everyone has them. Like, what is the big deal? Like, really? Unless someone walks in on you using it, then yeah, fair enough. Very embarrassing. Very, very embarrassing.
But that hasn't happened recently.
No, not this week.
Not this week.
Let's leave the conversation.
Yeah, well, let's leave the conversation alone.
It's too much for a Monday morning.
Right, let's get into today's chat because we're having a wonderful conversation with a really, really beautiful soul who was really honest with us. As always, that's kind of what we asked for on the podcast. Is that you come on and just be honest. And I feel like, as always, these ones that sort of take a turn and we end up having a really beautiful conversation. That happened today. That happened.
It did.
It was really special, wasn't it?
And just when we think we've discussed everything, we find something that we really haven't explored.
Yep.
And that both of us can really relate to in lots of ways. Yep. And I think, you know, there was so much of this chat that I think, you know, you can take away from, you can have a think about. I mean, I just really loved it. It was a fantastic chat. So please do stick around
and have a listen. Yeah. Who are we talking to today, George?
We are talking to the incredible Chanel Boateng.
Very excited about today's podcast. What a guest we've got for you. Mother of two, one of the original YouTubers, influencer, obsessed with beauty, lifestyle, makeup, all the stuff that we love to. She's a massive advocate for therapy. Please welcome Chanel Boateng to the podcast.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. Just got back from my usual morning school run. And what I normally do is I come in and I just get right into work.
Just to set the scene, it's Monday morning and Zoe and I are both fresh from a workout and Chanel comes on the recording and she looks like she's
so glam.
Yeah, like complete, the glam squad have been around this morning and she looks unbelievable. So I am so interested to know how do you manage that in the morning?
It's not every day. I also just got back from a school run and I actually used to work out, but I recently had an operation, so I had to put that on pause. So on a Monday like this, I will also be in my sweats, by the way.
Okay. Love that. Now, listen, for those listening who kind of don't know, you know, what you're about and kind of who you are, just tell us how you became to be such a big YouTuber, because you are, you know, a bit of a legend in that space.
A legend. Woo.
Yay.
I started, let's say, 12 years ago. My eldest son he's special needs. He's now 13. He was about 1 year old and I just started blogging because I love makeup and I love everything beauty. So, I mean, we were going through a lot. I was a single mom at the time and he was special needs and I wanted an escape, you know. So I got online, I started blogging about makeup. I had a little bit of experience with like makeup at that point because I was working on a counter, Benefit Cosmetics, doing like selling makeup and stuff. So it's something that was a passion for me. Particularly, I was doing makeup on dark-skinned women, which was a completely new audience and demographic, I would imagine, back then. And people caught onto it and I just kept on going.
Yeah. Okay. And it's really interesting that you say that when you started, it was an escape, you know, like you were a single mum to a son with special needs and you'd go online to escape. And it is amazing that, you know, we have that now, I guess, where before we would have been at home by ourselves and that would have been it. We wouldn't have been able
to connect to the outside world.
And it's nice to hear those positive like stories about social media, isn't it? Like, connecting you to other people. Just to obviously go back to you mentioning about your son with special needs, what are his needs? You know, and how was life then for you?
So I was really young. I was 21. I had just about shy finished uni. And I was obviously going to do all these major things because I've always been an ambitious person. I got pregnant with him and He was born prematurely at 23 weeks.
Oh my God.
Extremely. Like, in fact, they actually said he's not viable for life.
Yeah.
So if he was to be born at that time, which he was in the end, and he wasn't showing any signs of trying to live, by law, they can't help him. That's bizarre. And he's 13 years old today. So, you know, he came out and he was like fighting for life. So off to the NICU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there for 6 months. And every step and every day was just difficult. And even on our discharge, coming home. And anyway, he has a host of issues following that, such as microcephaly. I don't know if you've heard of that. So his head circumference is actually a lot smaller than his body size, which is a brain development issue. So he has got developmental delay. And unfortunately, he's visually impaired as well, which has brought on other hosts of issues as well in terms of like challenging behavior. And, you know, even at his age, he needs a lot of care.
So forgive me, you're 21 years old. You know, that's very young to be a mom, obviously going through all of those fears and thinking, what's my life going to be, you know, being a mom, as we all go through at any age. What happened when you went into labor prematurely? Can you remember that time?
Oh, that day was crazy. I was actually at work. So I was working at Selfridges on a benefit cosmetics counter. And this randomly out of nowhere, I just started feeling like a pain, like, you know, labor pain, but I didn't know it was my first ever child, first pregnancy and all that. So I was like, what is this? And the day after that, I had a day off and the pain kept increasing. And then in the evening, my sister was like, you're not like in labor. Like, it looks like you're having contractions. And obviously she was a mother of two at the time, three. So she's kind of like monitoring me, like, what's this? So she called the ambulance and they confirmed that it was in labor. So they got me into the hospital. They, you know, done their checks and they said I'm like dilated and all of this and I'm going to go into preterm birth. I had no choice. They were giving me steroids and stuff just to help, I guess, hold the pregnancy in or whatever the case. And it didn't work. They could only, you know, hope and pray that it would work and, you know, I could still carry it on.
Do they know why? Was it cervix related?
Yes. And I only found that out on my next pregnancy, which would have been about 7 years later or something like that, or 6 years later. Mm. And I was pregnant with twins. This time they decided to really carefully monitor me, like every week practically. And then they started to see my cervix was opening and then they confirmed that I have a condition called incompetent cervix.
Yeah.
So, that's when we found out. But we didn't, they was even speculating with Emmanuel's pregnancy. Is it, you know, is it an infection that caused it? They just couldn't confirm until the second, you know, pregnancy years down the line. So each time I do get pregnant, I have to take some type of precautionary measure, like get my cervix stitched and things like that.
Yes, yeah. We've had somebody on the podcast before, Caro. Do you remember George?
Yes.
Who came on, but very sadly, she lost her son. He only survived a few hours, but it was exactly that condition. And actually, for years and years and years, it sort of went undiagnosed. They didn't really know how to deal with it, or no, at least there weren't, you know, the tools in place to be able to mean you could go for a longer term with the pregnancy. It's really sad.
Yeah. But I guess now there, you know, like you say, like the stitch and there are things that can be done, I guess. But you have to get to that stage, don't you, to actually know you have a condition, which is, horrendous. You mentioned you're a single mum and you have a special needs son. And you obviously, you by yourself, but you went on again to have another child with somebody else.
Yes.
And how was that? Because I can imagine you're building a business, like you say, online, you've got a special needs son and you're a single mum. How does somebody have the time to go out there to find love again?
I feel my circumstances was a bit different because I didn't go out looking for love. I just kind of went with the flow and just, you know, raise my son. I met my previous partner because we are now, you know, we've broken up, but I met him in church. We hit off very quickly. We got married very quickly. And we had a pregnancy that we lost, which was the twins. And then my previous, my youngest son, who's now five, he came about obviously during the marriage. I didn't go out, I guess, dating or anything like that.
What was it? Were they concerned that your youngest was going to have, you know, you were going to be in a similar situation to your first pregnancy? Yes. So what were they monitoring you?
We got the stitch done before he was born.
Right.
I conceived him.
Oh, wow.
So that is something that a lot of people don't know they can possibly do. So it was advised following the twins' loss that the next time I'm trying for a baby, I get my cervix stitched prior to conceiving. And I was like, is that even possible? And they said that sperm is so tiny that it can still get up there and you can conceive. And I was like, well, let's try it. Within like the month, I got pregnant very quickly. And I was like, whoa!
Didn't expect this. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't expect this, but it did work for me. So any future pregnancies, I now know, okay, I need to get stitched first, which is good because it really does firm your cervix. And that's what it did for me. And then on top of that, I was taking pessaries every night. I think they were steroids. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I had to insert those every single night throughout the entire pregnancy to keep my cervix closed.
Right.
And then it got to 37 weeks and they removed it. And like 2 weeks afterwards, it was still intact. I had to even kind of almost induce myself.
Oh, really?
I wasn't That's going interesting. Into labor. I was like, okay, cervix, now you don't want to open.
Wow. So how was that pregnancy for you? And like when you reached 37 weeks, how did you feel?
So I actually was so positive in that pregnancy. It was a mindset thing for me. And I'm really big on that in terms of just women taking care of themselves, self-care, self-love. Hopefully they will have a partner that would allow them to, you know, take the well-deserved rest time that they need, and just be in a positive mindset. And I try to just not be nervous because, I mean, it is nerve-wracking. Every pregnancy is, regardless of the situation. But I really did want to put myself in a space where I'm like, okay, I'm having a baby, and just kind of just have faith towards the baby coming and being healthy and stuff, you know, doing all the things I love. I remember, like, my sister used to come pick me up and take me out for lunches. Then there was a lot of rest time as well, putting my feet up and watching loads of Netflix and having that balance, you know. Mm.
So you have a new son, AJ. He's healthy, happy. And then let me do the maths on this. Emmanuel is maybe 7 or 8 at the time, but he has special needs. Talk us through what life is like in those first kind of 6 months, having to look after both of them at the same time.
It was very challenging because my eldest son has special needs. I did have good support from my family. At the time I was living in London because I'm now out of London. So I was close to mum. And I saw her literally absolutely every day. So she helped me with him quite a lot. But for me, I had to work on like organizing myself just as a person, like, and setting routines for the boys. And just trying to stick to, I guess, a life plan. I'm like dead serious with that in terms of like, I don't know, a strict routine at wake up time, I don't know, bath time, lunch time, and alternate the two.
We love a routine. Don't worry. You're in the right company here. We love it. We're like, we can't function without it. Kids are going to be in bed at 6:45 every night, regardless of how tired they are, just so that we can have a life.
So we can have some time. Exactly. I always think with, like, you know, you say routine and people are like, oh gosh, that sounds so rigid. But actually it's the most freeing thing because then you know where you are, you know when you're going to get time to yourself. And sometimes it just has to work that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's definitely, it needs to be factored in so that you can have that time for yourself, even if it's not to like give yourself a pamper, but even to do housework and house chores is never easy doing it when the kids are running about and they're awake and stuff. So yeah, it's super important to have that routine and try to stick with it.
And emotionally, how were you afterwards? Because, you know, me and Georgia have talked quite openly. I suffered quite badly from baby blues. You know, we've had people on the podcast with postnatal depression. Where was your head at?
I was a bit of both, actually. I put on, my body changed, obviously after having a baby, like my body completely changed. And I didn't actually realize that I had issues with my body.
That's interesting.
I remember, and funny enough, I started doing haul videos on YouTube, like fashion hauls. And even oftentimes in the hauls, I'll be like, oh my God, my belly. And, you know, my son, like my stomach literally dropped and I had the longest stomach in the world. It was just super awkward. So I was kind of like, I guess, battling with my body and this coming to terms with the change. The weight gain was quite a lot as well. But at the same time as well, I am a plus size body confidence influencer and I inspire women to love themselves. But I am also kind of like, oh, this is a bit different. This is the heaviest I've ever been. Embracing this is going to be a challenge, but I'm going to try because this is who I am right now. And the most important thing is to stay strong for the boys. But I also found out a little later that it was important to open up and be honest about my personal struggles and issues with my internal issues. And this is where I looked into therapy, for example, to help me cope with that and previous traumas, etc.
Let's talk about therapy.
That's what I was going to say. I find it really interesting how, you know, like you say, as a plus size influencer talking about body positivity, to actually admit that you're having issues with your body. That's a huge thing. And probably something. Mm. So how did you navigate that? And like Zoe said, like what happened in therapy and to help you do that?
So I started therapy to tackle, I guess, the trauma of, and just me, I just wanted to understand myself.
Yeah.
Because after I had AJ, I lost a lot of the essence of who I actually was. Like, I've always loved a bit of glam and makeup and proper girl's girl, but I kind of was almost struggling to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And I know as mums, we shouldn't even force ourselves after having babies to be this glam queen. It's not realistic, but at the same time, doing things to make yourself feel good is super important as well.
Yes.
So I had to look into therapy to kind of get Chanel back because I lost her in the midst of trying to balance it all. And but funny enough, my therapy didn't end up just being about me. It actually was about my marriage.
Okay.
A lot of things came up about my marriage and it made me make such harsh decisions on where I wanted to see myself, my marriage, my children, etc. And in the past year, I went through a divorce.
Right. Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. And actually, I think for a long time, you can float and exist in a marriage without thriving. And the things that you think are normal actually aren't that normal. And when you start breaking down what you want and what you really need and what you deserve, and you look at it and you start looking at it, the realization can be massive that actually potentially this might not be the right marriage for you. It can obviously go the other way and you can come together and it can be a beautiful merging of two people who can really grow together, you know, but there's a flip side to that coin. Yeah.
I was gonna say, it's not always going to happen, is it? And I'm sure that there are people listening to this now who are, like Zoe says, in that, you know, in that place where they're just existing in the marriage. And I guess, like you say, you go to therapy to work on yourself, but actually in doing that, you realise what you really want and what you want your life to be like. We'll be right back after this short break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
So what do you want your life to be like now? And what's going on? You know, what's going on and how are you feeling?
I feel that in the midst of being a single mother, then getting into my marriage and the type of marriage I was in, I ended up having the nature of this strong black woman, boss babe, like have to kill it in life. That type of attitude, because I've always had to take the lead and always ended up doing things that is just, it kind of diminished my femininity.
Okay.
And
right,
I was on a journey to exploring my femininity because it's important to me. Because I feel like it brings out the maternal nurturing side of myself that enables me to be a good mom to my boys. But I felt like I was almost like the leader of my home in some cases. And I guess it was the type of marriage that I was in. And I mean, not to delve too deep into the marriage itself, but I didn't want to see myself as wearing the pants or, you know, taking that lead.
Being the alpha all the time as a woman is really hard.
It's hard, and it's actually not our genetic makeup. Like, I don't feel that a lot of us are cut out to do that. But sometimes, because of life circumstances such as being a single mom, etc., you end up wearing that hat. And all of a sudden, you're now this stern, strict, like... woman, and you almost lose your feminine grace, and I didn't want that to outpour into my children, and that's where I had to stop myself and be like, hold up, you know, this whole stern kind of boss babe attitude, I needed to go to therapy to work out where is it coming from, and what can my partner do to support me. And I realized in the end that he wasn't interested in a position too.
Very interesting.
And so I had to get on my own, because it is more important for me to be that woman for my boys than for me to be that wife to someone who's not exactly ready to enable me to embrace my femininity.
Your femininity, yeah. Do you know what? When a woman is, you know, alpha and, you know, has a career and is a mother and, like you said, this boss babe, and you're kind of killing it and you have to be the one that wears the trousers, I think my personal experience with it is that men want to support it and want to be there and want to also be, you know, in my case, also alpha. But then sometimes it chips and chips and chips, and then those little chips become bigger, and then it almost emasculates them. So it also, if you don't know how to tap in or stand into your feminine self, it's like you grow in power, because we do, because women are super fucking human, and men don't. And that causes a huge, huge rift between men and women.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, so much of the dialogue at the moment is, you know, around, you know, being a woman and being equal to a man and, you know, we can do this and we can do that. And actually, yeah, of course we can. Absolutely. But it is exhausting, because, like, you know, we say we do all the other stuff as well. And that is in our, like, just in our genetics and in our makeup. Mm-hmm. And so when you're trying to battle being both, it's really, really hard. And like Zoe says, like, yes, you know, men are a certain way, and whether that's because they've been raised that way to believe that they need to be the providers and this and that, and this and that, it's just difficult
to tussle.
And I guess, is that, you know, is that on us now, when we've got sons, to teach them that it's, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, and that they can be feminine and that they can, you know, do this? Or is it just in our DNA? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I think it's interesting.
No, it's the former. It's the former. It's the former.
Yeah. But it's just interesting, isn't it? Because we are moving into a different world now.
Yeah.
And these issues will be coming up in so many households.
But also we can be providers as women. We can have careers, you know, we can be strong mothers, but we can also step into the feminine. And I struggle with it. I struggle being looked after. I haven't ever really been looked after. You know, everyone's got a sad story, but, you know, parents went away at 17. You know, I just had to do it by myself. So to let a man look after me, I really struggle with it. And that's something that we're working on, that I can still retain, you know, being this really strong, independent woman, but also, like, look after me, need me, nurture me, because I need it.
Yeah, exactly that. I feel that some of us haven't been looked after. I'm not saying, my parents have definitely been there for me in the various ways that they could. But especially as, you know, I came out of my mom, you know, moved out or whatever, or tried to, you know, get on with life on my own, especially that period of being a single mother.
Yeah.
I just started birthing all of these things that you go into survival mode. And sometimes you have no choice but to just boss up. And you're used to doing things on your own. So when someone comes and they're like, oh, here I am, it's kind of like, well, I'm used to doing this. You know, this is how I do things. And I don't want to take that into a next relationship, though. I do want to learn to accept someone who wants to support me. I'll be honest, though, in my case, though, I'm not saying that my ex wasn't in any way, shape or form supportive or ever there.
Yeah.
But I think he was also quite comfortable to see a strong woman doing it. And it was like, yeah, I would have loved for him to be like, actually, babe, you take a seat for a second. Let me.
Yeah.
That's all I really needed. And I didn't think that it was coming ever.
But then it's difficult, isn't it? Because unless you're doing, thank you for being honest about that.
Yeah.
But I feel like unless you're doing therapy to get, like, it's really important, I think, to do therapy by yourself, but also with a different therapist, because I don't think you can have this, doing it together so that all of that stuff in there can be raised.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, holding space for all of those things that come up in a marriage and being able to have the confidence to share them, knowing that they're going to be received. If you're not working together, I think, in those moments with whoever's, you know, guiding you through it just like bang, you know, oh, you're fucking nagging me and get off my fucking bag. And the next one, you're just like, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you about, could you help me with the kitchen a bit more? Or could you pick the kitchen, whatever it is. It's really hard unless you have that support.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Really tricky.
Yeah. Or you find a way to have that dialogue between you, which, I mean, I don't know many couples who have that, like, naturally without, you know, working it out and going to see somebody.
Well, I had that conversation with you this morning. I rung up George. I was like, how's your marriage, George? She was like, it's actually really good. And she was like, how's yours? And I was like, mine's really good actually at the minute as well. Yeah.
We do have that conversation, don't we? Quite a lot. And we're like, it's yeah, but it's been a ride. Like, it isn't always like that. And
no.
Yeah, unless you have the conversation. It's like, well, I got a mate like Zoe who's like, how is your marriage, Georgia?
How do you feel, Chanel, now you've kind of come out the other side? How do you feel inside about what you've just been through?
A lot of people would have expected me to be so down in the dumps and just, you know, obviously, like, going through a divorce is kind of like a bereavement for many, but I actually feel very good. I don't know how to explain it. I'm very happy with my decision. I just want to embrace a new life and with a new attitude. I'm actually in a good space mentally and everything. I've been in therapy for a good year plus. But I even said to my therapist last week, I can actually take the foot off the gas with this for a bit. So we've actually, like,
graduated.
But I love what you put it there. I did say, like, I want to take a break for a couple of months. I feel so good in my mental space at the moment. Do I need therapy? And she's like, at least check in once a month.
Okay.
Because, you know, life is like that. And I was like, you know what? That's useful. So instead of weekly, we'll be doing monthly therapy sessions now. And one of the things I did say to her is, I do want to see how I cope on my own. Without having to go to a therapy session. And I also want to put into play how I manage my emotions. Because a lot of the time, we are confronted with life's issues, etc. Something might make us angry, something might make us sad. In the moment of this specific thing taking place, I want to learn how to manage my anger and manage my sadness so that I can get past this. Otherwise, you keep going back to it and you keep revisiting it, and it can just put such a strain and just cause an issue. And I'm tired of having issues. I'm tired of having things blow up in my face.
Yeah.
So I think it's this important as a person to take control over your life and over your emotions and try to manage them.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, you've learned a lot, you know, from being in therapy and things that you've been through. Is this something that you try and pass on to your boys to teach them, you know, how to manage their emotions and all of that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the younger one specifically, he is a very, he's so delicate, bless him. And, you know, with all the changes happening, it's just, I have to kind of encourage him to understand that this is a new normal for us. And I mean, he's still at a very young age where he's kind of, he doesn't understand why mommy and daddy are not together anymore. But I'm trying to explain to him, you know, that we both still love him and we both want to have the best time with him and give him the best life possible. My eldest son, he's special needs, so it is a bit different with him. With him, it's a lot of touch and a lot of, you know, sensory in order for him to understand the changes that are happening. And it is very difficult to detect his emotions because he doesn't really, you know, show it, you know, as I guess a child who isn't special needs would. But I mean, I do give a lot of, I'm definitely that mum that gives a lot of hugs and kisses. I just keep on constantly doing that with them just to reassure them.
We can feel that down the down the airwaves that you sort of, you give that off, that lovely warmth. I think you're doing an amazing job. It's never easy to navigate something like that. But I think having these conversations and being really open and honest will help loads of people listening today. Thank you for coming on. Like, I've loved the conversation. Is there anything, well, before we say goodbye, we've got to talk about products. And I think
going to be a good one. We always ask our guests what their 5 favourite products are. That can be for you, that can be for the kids, whatever it is. We just like to hear about some cool stuff, really.
So I love the Laura Mercier brow pencil. It's just amazing. Like, it's just the way it draws on, and it lasts for a while as well, so you don't have to constantly keep sharpening and it goes. So
I love Laura Mercier,
brunette color. Otherwise I could get away with brunette as well. I then love Fenty Beauty's bronzer, which is Mocha Mami.
Nice.
It just gives this lovely, bronze that even on my dark skin, it just radiates. I mean, it's a matte brown. So it's a matte brown with like mahogany undertones type of thing. So it's just gorgeous. My favorite foundation of all time is Estee Lauder's Double Wear.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really? I don't think I've ever tried that.
Yeah, I have.
I'm an Armani beauty girl, but
Oh, wow. That's lush, isn't it? I love Armani. I might have to try that.
That's a bit fabulous, isn't it? When I get to go out somewhere nice. I'm going to try it. Okay.
Yeah,
because it gives
forever.
Good coverage. Okay.
Yeah, the coverage is flawless and it's buildable. So you can have a subtle coverage, then you can have a full face. I've kind of gone for like a medium coverage today because, you know, I'm at home. And yeah, I love that. Another Laura Mercier product is a translucent honey, which I use to set my concealer. Absolutely.
What is that?
Amazing.
What is it? A powder?
It's a powder.
Yeah.
So it's a translucent powder and it's got like a yellow undertone. So when you set your concealer, you kind of bake with it and you remove off the powder after a while. It just has this flawless look without it looking cakey. I've tried some translucent powders that can leave that cakey look, which I hate. So you can actually have a nice natural look.
Baking, is that when you look ridiculous for like a few minutes where you have to put the powder on and then you leave it?
Yeah.
And then what do you just gently use a makeup brush and just brush it off?
Yeah. So I tend to use like the foundation brush that I've used.
Right.
Which, I mean, it wouldn't have much product on it, but it will have a little bit of the residue. And then I just basically brush it off with that so that it just has this natural look. Otherwise, you could use like a clean brush, but it probably would be a bit harsh. The foundation brush kind of catches a bit of the product, you know. Yeah.
And we should try a bit of baking.
So if you bake, does it mean it gives just more of a flawless finish?
That's it. Yeah. It just looks gorgeous. Go to ready if you do it right. Otherwise,
That's what I was going to say. You'll see me and Zoe in a few days and we'll look absolutely crazy.
Those girls haven't got that right.
They've been trying to bake.
As on a final note, the piece of advice that you would give to a new parent, or the best piece of advice that you've received yourself?
So I would say to not forget yourself, and it's okay to not feel guilty for having your own personal time. If you obviously are allowed to have that, because obviously having a newborn, for example, is very hands-on, and it's actually a very lovely experience, you know, at that newborn stage. And I personally embrace it, and I'm just like constantly like checking on my baby and stuff. But there could be moments where it does get, you know, a bit stressful and a bit tiresome. It's okay to put your feet up, even with your baby in your arms, and just kind of feel the need to have that self-care and, you know, really tap into yourself for that moment.
Love that.
Thank you so much. Janelle, it's been such a great conversation. Just thank you.
I echo that. Really, thank you for being so honest. Lovely to have you on. We're going to try baking and send you a photo.
We will. We'll let you know how we get on. See you later.
I'd love to see it.
So interesting. Like,
amazing.
The whole thing about, you know, feeling like you have to be a boss bitch and sort of putting that armor on and all of that kind of stuff. It's just like, you just don't hear people talking about that. Like, you really don't. You hear people, you know, talking about wanting to be this and be that, but actually don't talk about the other side of it when you feel like you've put too much of an armor on, and you can't let anyone else in because you're so independent, and you
feel like you haven't got a choice as well. I think when you've been doing it for so long, you feel like you don't have a choice, that there is no weakness that can be shown, or that's what we think anyway. And I think we can all relate to those moments where we are juggling so many things, and we really do have to pretend like everything is okay, that we're in control of everything, and then we shut the bathroom door, we held our eyes out, and we think, fucking hell, there's nobody there to support me. It's not a great place to be. So the fact that she's been there, been through it all, done the work on herself, realised what she needed, I really respect her. I think that will really inspire a lot of people, actually, to have a little think about, you know, what they need. What do I need?
And it just goes back to that whole thing, doesn't it, of like not let, you know, it being okay to ask for help, and it being okay to need help and support, and sometimes just someone to put their arms around you and let you know that everything's going to be okay. Yeah. But again, easier said than done when you've been independent for so long.
Yeah.
Just, wow.
Yeah,
really,
brilliant.
Really appreciate her coming on and talking about that.
Amazing. And thank you. Yeah, thanks again to Janelle for coming on. And thank you guys for listening. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe.
Subscribe,
and give the podcast a little follow, and then you'll never miss an episode.
Yeah, and also any feedback, then drop us a DM on Instagram at Made by Mummers, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.